May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pure and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, our Master, and our King. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it sure was good to have Pastor Jason here last week and see him again and hear him preach. But you know, he brought out a wonderful thing last week. He told us that we've begun a new season in the church year, a season called Epiphany. A season, well, the name says it all. It's about being made known. Epiphany means to make known. And it's all about Christ being made known as the Savior, as the promised Messiah, as the fulfillment of the prophecies of old. It began with the wise men. Christ was made known through the star in the east. But then he was also made known as those wise men came to Herod. And they asked about the king. Well, Herod didn't know anything. But the priests and the scribes did. They said, Oh yeah, the Messiah is supposed to come and be born in Bethlehem. And he was made known through their study of the Scripture. And as we go through Epiphany, this season that goes right up until February 6th, which is Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent, every Scripture reading that is chosen for this time of year has to do with Christ being made known. Well, this morning, Christ was made known as the Messiah through His baptism. It begins in a very indirect way. It begins with the words of John the Baptist. Jesus comes to him to be baptized, and notice John's response. John says to him, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" When John says that in an indirect way, he is acknowledging Jesus is the Messiah. Here's John, a prophet of God, who's saying, "I need to be baptized by you." Now remember what Jesus himself said about John. He says, "Of woman there has been no one born greater than John the Baptist." Now if John the Baptist is the greatest person ever born of a woman, and here is Jesus and John saying, "I need to be baptized by you." Oh, and Jesus is a big deal. He's great. He's the Messiah. But while that may be an indirect after John baptizes him, we look in the book of John chapter 1, verse 29. This is how John then describes Jesus. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." That's pretty direct. John's saying he's the Messiah, the one who will deliver you from your sin. But you know, you can't get better than what actually happened at that baptism. Oh, how I hope this is on DVD when we get to heaven. I don't know if it'll be on Blu-ray disc or HD DVD. I'm sure it'll be on something better than either one of those, but it'll be good if it's there. To see Jesus be baptized. Go down into the Jordan River. John, you know, takes a shell or a pitcher or something, brings up water and baptizes him. And then, here comes this dove out of the sky coming down towards Jesus. And this cloud comes over. And then a voice from heaven. Oh, you know that voice. It's got to be a voice that just shakes everything. And that voice, "This is my Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." You can't get a better making known of the Messiah than that. To have God Himself speak from heaven and say, "Jesus is it." Epiphany. Christ being made manifest. Christ being made known. But you know what? It's much more than Him being made known by a star, or by John the Baptist, or by the Scriptures, or by even God's voice. Epiphany is also about something else. It's about change. It's about the change that is needed. And that change that is needed comes in a couple of different forms. There's a need for a person's heart to be changed so that they give themselves to their Lord and Savior Jesus. And there needs to be a change in us. Now let me tell you a little bit about what I'm talking about here. The great reformers, they had a phrase that they used to describe this change. It was semper reformandi. Semper reformandi. It means always reforming or always changing. As I was reading about this, one writer who was describing semper reformandi said this, and I'd like to quote him because he does a much better job than I could do. He said, "The more we continue to understand that we have not arrived, and the more willing we are to adopt the humble approach that we and our churches are in need of continual reformation, the more our churches and lives come to reflect the God we preach." This was a lesson. This was an attitude that the early church, that St. Peter, that they really needed to learn. And you know, if St. Peter and the early church needed to learn, I got a funny feeling we probably are in the same boat. Semper reformandi, they needed to change. They had been called to preach. And they did. They preached the gospel to the Jews who were there in Jerusalem. Now, let me take you back a little bit here. Why did they preach exactly? Well, they'd been told to. They had been told by Jesus. In fact, early in His ministry, Jesus took His disciples and He sent them out and He told them, "Preach this message." And I quote, "The kingdom of heaven is near." This is the message they were supposed to go out and preach. But then He qualifies it. He says, "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel." In other words, go to the Jewish people. And that's exactly what those disciples did. They went, they preached, they healed, they cast out demons, but they went only to the Hebrew people. Again, right before Jesus ascended into heaven, in Acts chapter 1, He tells His disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised." Where were they supposed to go? Go to Jerusalem and wait there for the gift My Father has promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The disciples know that Jesus said, "Go to all the nations." They know the Great Commission. But they also have this background of, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, go to the lost sheep of Israel. Go back to Jerusalem, stay there, wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. When it comes on you, then you'll really be able to preach. And so they go and they wait in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit comes on them. What do? They preach. Where do they preach? In Jerusalem. Did they stay there? No. They did go abroad. Excuse me. They went all over the place. They went to Ephesus. They went to Corinth. They went all the way to Rome. And who did they preach to? Well, they went into the synagogues and they preached to the Jewish people. They were going to the lost sheep of Israel. They had taken the Great Commission and they had missed that part that says, go and make disciples of all nations. And they went to go to all the nations and make disciples of the lost sheep of Israel. That's where their focus was. And then along comes Acts chapter 10, our New Testament reading today. where God comes to Peter in a vision. And the message of that vision is very simple. It's, Peter, you need to change. Yes, you're going to all the nations, and yes, you're preaching the gospel, but you're only focusing on the lost sheep of Israel. Peter, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and preach to the Gentiles. Preach the good news to them. In fact, God narrows it right down and says, there's some guys coming to your door. They're coming from a gentleman named Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile. In fact, he's a Roman centurion. Go to Cornelius, who is righteous and God-fearing. Go to Cornelius and preach the message to the Gentiles. Well, you know, when you got a vision from God and God tells you to go and do something, you better do it. And so Peter does. But we gain a little insight into Peter's heart and where his mind was when he gets to Cornelius. When he gets to Cornelius' house, he says, and I quote, this is from Acts chapter 10, verse 28. You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. There's where Peter's coming from. He comes to Cornelius. You know, I'm not supposed to be here. Our laws say I'm not supposed to associate with you. I'm not supposed to visit you. I'm not supposed to be here. But then he opens up to Cornelius and says, I had a vision. And Cornelius opens up to Peter and says, I was praying. I was praying at that time. I was praying that God would give me the truth. Because I want to serve Him. And so, God gave you that vision, Peter, and sent you here to me. And we see a major change come upon Peter. After hearing what Cornelius has said, and hearing Cornelius pour out his heart, Peter now says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear Him and do what is right. Semper reformandi. Peter was changing. And I want you to think of Peter. Got a window up here with his name on it. Peter. The disciple with a foot-shaped mouth. Because he was always speaking out and sticking his foot in his mouth. Peter, the one who denies Jesus three times after saying, Lord, even if it means I die, I would never turn from you. Peter, the one who Jesus says, on you I will build the church, Peter, you're going to lead. Peter, the one who took that to heart, and boy, he went to it. But again, he kind of changed the Great Commission. From go and make disciples of all nations to, well, I'll go to all nations, but I'm not going to make disciples of all people. To now, an evangelist to the Gentiles. Peter himself ends up going all the way to Rome, preaching to the Gentile people, and dying in Rome for that faith. Semper reformandi. Peter was changing. But you know, when we go back to Acts chapter 10, we see a little bit more of Semper Reformandi. After he says this, we hear, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. You heard it read this morning. Peter preached the gospel, and there was a tremendous change. A tremendous change in Cornelius and his whole household. The message that Peter preached was very simple. Repent, the kingdom of heaven has come. Jesus is the Messiah. And Cornelius and his whole household, they repented and they were baptized, first with water and then with the Holy Spirit who filled their hearts. Well, talk about changing. When the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and begins to develop that faith in you and makes you a child of God, oh, that's a change. That's a change that people will look at and they'll go, what happened to you? You're a different person. Semper reformandi. You know, this story, this account is so perfect. It's great for a new year. And it's great for the beginning of the Epiphany season. Because it is a story of change. It is a story of reformation by everyone involved, from Peter to Cornelius to the entire early church. They were always changing and adapting to bring the gospel message to those who were in the darkness. They were opening their eyes. They were opening their hearts. They were opening their ears to new ways go and make disciples of all nations. They saw now the larger mission. The ministry wasn't limited to, well, my neighbor. Ministry is not limited. It is to the whole world. Go and make disciples of all nations. Well, I think that is a message for us here in Zion and for the entire Christian church. We need to also keep our eyes, our ears, our hearts open to the calling of the Holy Spirit so that we can see new ways of bringing the gospel to those in the darkness. Now, I know some of you are probably saying, that's probably why we've been looking at a preschool. That's a new way. And you know, when I read through this passage and I started thinking of what can we at Zion do, that was the first thing that came to my mind. But then I sat there and I thought about it. I thought, you know, I think we began living Semper Reformandi as we did the Christmas project, as we did the Truth project, as we did a candlelight service on Christmas Eve. But you know what? That's just a start. What does God have in store for us? And what does God have in store for? I want you to think about it. Semper Reformandi. Maybe, just maybe, there is a new ministry that needs you and needs your leadership in this church. Maybe, just maybe, our time and talents can make a difference in the lives of others in our community. Maybe, just maybe, it is time for us to learn more about the needs of others and then pray that we will lead them to serve in some new way. Maybe, just maybe, it is time for us to dedicate more time to the study of Scripture, to falling on our knees in prayer with fellow believers so that God's Spirit may give us new understanding and strengthen our faith. Maybe, just maybe, today is the day to begin to change. Semper Reformandi. Always changing. Always reforming. By the grace of God. We can't do it on our own. We need to ask God to fill us with His Spirit so that we can make that change. But while we change by the grace of God, we change for the grace of God. Because that grace of God is the greatest gift ever given to mankind. It is the key to heaven. For you, your family, your friends, your neighbor, your coworker, the guy down the street you don't know, some person in Pakistan you've never met, some person someplace that we don't even know about. Semper Reformandi, by the grace of God and for the grace of God. Semper Reformandi. Amen. We continue now with the gathering of our tithes and our offerings, one of the ways that we enable the church to minister to those who are in need and to bring the gospel to those who are in the darkness of this world.